Yeah, well, we'll just talk a little bit about the trip to Mexico. It was April 5th through the 16th, so it went right over. The first weekend we were there was Easter, and we actually got there on a Thursday, and the next day, Friday, was Good Friday. And so the whole, there were 15 of us, and 13 of us took a bus to Mexico City. We were in Toluca, Mexico. That's where the hotel was. That's where we flew into. Mexico City is about an hour and a half bus ride or taxi ride from Toluca. And so on Good Friday, we got to go to Mexico City on a bus, and because they were having some huge passion play, some huge festivities that they have there. As you know, Mexico is completely Catholic almost, or I don't know the percentages, but you know, most everybody is a Catholic. And so on Good Friday, we got into Mexico City, and it was a beautiful day, and we couldn't have found a better parking spot for the bus. They have this this passion play that they're having going on. There's a big hill and with a big cross and a figure of Jesus on it. It said Passion or something like that. And when we got there, everything was just kind of getting started, and they had all the streets blocked off. You know, you couldn't park on the streets. And yet, by God's grace, you know, the bus, we were able to find a parking spot. There was a parking lot there, and right at the base of where all the activity was going to be. And so we couldn't have found a better spot. And we, because we had, I don't know how many tracks. We brought, you know, many, many thousands of tracks. And so it was good as we all could load up our backpacks and then distribute the tracks and then come right back to the bus and get and load up again and go back out, because there were just so many people. And it was an incredible, I've never seen anything like it, this passion thing. I didn't see all the activity. It was up a hill where they were doing these demonstrations or whatever they were doing up there. But what they would do is hundreds or even thousands of mostly men, I think, and young men, they would carry these huge wooden crosses that must have weighed a ton. I don't know how much they weighed, but you could see them grimacing, you know, and they were burdened under this huge weight of some huge wooden cross that supposedly the wood was from Jerusalem or something like that, and it was supposed to bring them a blessing by them doing this. It was so sad to see. I've never seen anything like that. And so the hundreds of these men are just running up this hill with these wooden crosses on their dressed in robes or supposedly looking like Jesus or something, and they run up the hill and do something up there, and then at the end of the day they were all running back down the hill with these wooden crosses. But other than that, they had festivities. They had like carnival type atmosphere there, and just an incredible number of people. You just look out in the street and all you see is the just bobbing heads from the multitudes of people. If you've ever been to the boardwalk in at the shore, you know, when it gets really crowded and you look out, you know, all you see is just a lot of people walking along, you know, and that's what this was like. It's just thousands and thousands of people, and very receptive. You know, the people were, everybody was taking the tracks. I think as a team that day, we passed out like 40,000 tracks in just one day with only 13 people. You know, that's just an incredible number of people. As you know, you just try to find a good spot where people are flowing by you, and I had, you know, you walk around for a little bit trying to find a good spot, and I went into this kind of little entrance that they go in where then there's all these other vendors and rides for the children and stuff, and I parked myself right between two vendors, and there was not, and the opening wasn't that wide, so everybody had to funnel past me, and you know, they couldn't get away, and there they are, and very receptive people, you know, and although somewhat laid back, like they really, like they don't have a care in the world, you know, they're there just for the party or whatever, and yet some seem interested, you know, so that was a real blessing that day, so that was Good Friday. And then the next day, Saturday, our team went right in Toluca. They were having these festivities as well. There's a lot of cathedrals and big Catholic churches all around Toluca and all in Mexico City and everywhere in Mexico. And it's kind of like the cathedrals are kind of just built right into the town. And I don't know if they own the property or what, but you know, they were having a big festival right in front of the big cathedral there on Saturday in Toluca. They had music, and everybody was. They had these I guess you call them piñatas, or I don't know if they were piñatas or some big figures that they look like devils, with the horns, the red horns, you know, obviously what the world thinks the devil looks like, with these red horns, and they would have them raised in the air, and then they would blow up, like they would explode inside, and then people would cheer, you know, like they're blowing up the devil. And they actually had an Uncle Sam as well that they blew up, and that everybody was cheering that on as well. So I guess they don't like the Americans somewhat or whatever. I don't know about that. But it was very loud. You know, when those things would explode, and I wasn't ready for it. You know, you're about to hand somebody a track, and all of a sudden an explosion. You're like, whoa. You know, and so that was an interesting day. But the people there, too, were very receptive. I walked right in front of the cathedral because they're all just sitting out on the steps in front of the church, you know, watching the festivities. And the music's going, and you just walk very quietly and hand each person a tract, and they would all pretty much take one. And nobody bothered us that day on the church property or anything like that. I don't know if the priests, I didn't see any priests that day doing anything with the festivities. I don't know if they were involved or not. But that was a good day, too. And then the next day was Easter. On Easter Sunday, our team went to a town called Metepec, I think it was called. And it was about, maybe less than a half-hour taxi ride there. And they had two big cathedrals as well. They were huge. This one was way in the distance. You had to go up, I don't know, at least a couple thousand steps to get up to it. And we were right there on the base of it. And they were also having little festivities. Although there wasn't that many people in this town, Metepec. I guess it's not as big as Toluca. And one thing happened that day is we got there around like 10 a.m. and there weren't that many people out on the street, so we got to walk through the town and try to find people. And there was one procession I found on one side street coming, and I don't know, they were all dressed in white. It was some kind of church congregation, and they were carrying something with looked like a throne and like a Jesus figure sitting on the throne. That they were carrying through the streets and singing, chanting something. I don't know what they were chanting. But they were very receptive too, all of them. They took tracts. But I don't know what they were carrying. I guess Easter Sunday, the Lord's risen. I guess had him seated on a throne or something. You know, very, very blasphemous and sad. They don't know what they're doing, you know. And that's really a lot of sadness I saw in Mexico where the people, I've never seen so many pictures of Jesus. So many people just walk around with a T-shirt and just a big Jesus on the shirt, you know. And maybe it was because of the Easter season that they all were wearing this, but tons and tons of people with clothing, with pictures of Jesus. And then you saw a lot of crucifixes being sold, all sorts of idol worship objects and things like that that they were involved with. And then on that in Metepec, too, later on, around 1 or 2 o'clock maybe, one of the cathedrals let out from their mass. On Easter Sunday there, and so me and another lady in the team, we got to stand right outside as they were all filing out, and I guess the priest had told them not to take the tracts, because I guess they had found out, actually the day before on Saturday, another team had been to that town, and so they must have, you know, read the tract and seen that it, they didn't agree with it or whatever, and so they had told the people not to take it, but yet still at least, you know, half the people were still taking the tracts, and a couple ladies, maybe one or two there, older ladies, Catholic women, they started shouting at me something in Spanish, you know, that they didn't like, you know, what you were doing, you know, and they wanted you to get out of there. But other than that, though, the people were very friendly, you know, just one here, one there. They would, I guess the real diehard Catholics would get a little agitated. But the Mexican people are so gentle and so calm, you know, it's no problems at all. And the police, you know, the police, just like in, I remember when I went to Panama, that, you know, the police carry these machine guns, and that's what, same thing in Mexico. The police, they had big machine guns and body armor and all sorts of things, and yet there's no, you don't see much violence, you don't see much problems at all. And so that was Easter Sunday. That was a good day. And then each day during the week after that, you know, we would go to, all the teams would go to various places. Some would go to hospitals, some would go to markets, and different places like that. And we went to, one day we went to this really big market. In Mexico, I guess, they have these markets where they travel around to different locations. So one day per week, they're in a certain location, like a Tuesday market in this town is And then on Wednesday, they'll be in another town. Some of the same vendors. They just travel around from town to town. And this one market was just huge. It was we actually got lost in it. We had four people on our team, and me and this other brother, Jerry, and the two ladies. And so when we got there, we set the ladies outside in front of the market, and they would get all the people coming in and going out. And me and Jerry went inside, you know, to give the tracks to the vendors and to go through and see what it was like. And, you know, after 5 minutes, I lost Jerry. I don't know where he was. And, you know, you just keep walking. It just keeps going and going. It's like a huge maze in this. They have all tents covered. It's all on the streets, you know, but they block off the streets and they cover them all with tarps and all sorts of things they're selling, you know, fish laid out or clothing or vegetables and fruits or all sorts of stuff. And you just slowly walk through, handing the tracks to the vendors and the people that are in there. And then I finally got to another side of it, an exit. You know, they have all, it's like, must be like a square or something. There's exits all around. And that was a busy spot, so I stayed there pretty much all day. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jerry up, and he says, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I've been lost for 2 hours." You know, he was trying to find the ladies, trying to find, because he needed more tracks, and he had got lost inside this maze. You know, once you go in, if you don't keep your bearings and know which way you're going, it's so easy to get lost. And then I told him, "Oh, you just got to go down this way and then make a left, you know, and make another right and another left, and you'll be there." You know, and then I guess he never did find that. And because then after a while, I ran out of tracks, and I was going to go back because we had rented a cab for the day so we could bring more tracks. So we just leave the extra tracks in the taxi cab, and then when you're done passing out your tracks, you can go back to the cab and get more. So I was going back, and then all of a sudden, I hear footsteps running behind me, and he taps me on the shoulder, and it's Jerry, and he says, "Oh, you got to lead me back to the taxi. You know, I don't know where it is." And he says, "Oh, no problem. Come with me." You know, and then we went up one way, and I thought I knew where I was going. And then all of a sudden, this doesn't look familiar. You know, and I said, "Well, let's go. I think this is a shortcut. Let's go this way." And then for the next half hour, we were lost inside the market, and it was sad too because we didn't have any tracks. So we were just walking through, and it's like you're packed in like sardines in between all the vendors. You know, you got to squeeze by people, but finally we made it. We saw the light at the end of the tunnel there. You know, and we finally got out and back to the ladies there. And so that was a blessing that day too. A lot of people there, and a lot of good conversations. I don't know that much Spanish, but by God's grace, just memorized some of the things on the Spanish track. Because you can, if you have the English track and you have the Spanish track, you can compare the two, and so you can know what it's saying, and you can, just memorize some of these statements. So I could tell a lot of people, you know, what it was about. That it was about salvation from hell through the Lord Jesus, you know. And very important to read the Bible and things like that. And she had a lot of people come up, you know, asking what this is all about. And she got this. And very few people, though, they spoke English. Not that many. Once in a while, you have somebody come up with you. And some people come up with you because they want to practice their English, you know, and they try to talk to you in English. And then you get to tell them about the Bible a little bit, but they really just want to practice their English, you know. We went to various markets and things like that, and another exciting thing happened. Well, not exciting, it was an interesting thing. It was on, Friday morning, not Good Friday, the week after that, around like 12:45 a.m. while we were sleeping, all of a sudden I woke up because the bed was shaking, and then I opened my eyes and the whole room was going back and forth, and it was an earthquake that had happened, and it was only lasted like 10 seconds or something, and it was just the whole room was just going like this. And I've never been in an earthquake before, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And I was rooming with another guy, Brandon, from California, and he was a young guy, and he was used to the earthquakes in California that they have, so he wasn't as riled up as I was. But I said, "What's going on?" He said, "It's an earthquake," you know, and he jumped out of bed, looked out the window, but didn't see anything, you know, and it all just kind of died down. You know, just a little glimpse of God's power, you know, just showing, and that's what I was, you know, trembling, you know, like just how vulnerable we really are. Like we think, "Oh, we think we're so strong, we think we're in control, or, you know, nothing bad's going to happen to me today." You know, God could do anything, you know, he's going to shake the whole world on the last day when he destroys the whole world with fire, you know, and here's just a little glimpse of his power, just rocking that hotel back and forth like a cradle, you know, and it's just a mighty God that he is. You know, he truly is the Almighty. And we ought to fear and tremble before him, you know. And and pray to God for His mercy, you know. And so that was a good wake up call, you know, and it was a good reminder of just who God is. And there was no damage in Toluca from the earthquake. I guess it happened in a neighboring state. Like Mexico has states, like we have states, you know, like Pennsylvania or Delaware or things like that. They have states too, and it was in the state next to where we were, and I guess we just felt it a little bit. And there was some damage where it really hit, you know, the center of it or whatever. But in Toluca there was no problems. And then that day on Friday we got to go to Mexico City again. Our team, we took a taxi cab, the four of us, and we went to this place. I guess it's called Zocalo Square or something like that. Some huge square in Mexico City. That's I don't know how big. It's just huge. You just look right across, and there's a huge cathedral on one side. There's a federal building on another side, and other big buildings on the other four sides of this huge square. And there's subway, I guess, stations that people come up out of into the square, and it's just teeming with people. Again, it's just huge crowds. And I guess Mexico City, you know, is one of the largest cities in the world, some 20 million or even more than that. I don't know. Some were saying it's the biggest city in the world. I don't know, but it's tons and tons of people. And when we had gotten there, and we brought a lot of extra tracks that day too. We had a taxi cab for the day, and I got to stand out. When we first got there, I went over to the federal building. There's this huge federal building, and I guess that would be like, you know, our Capitol building or something. You know, one like the buildings in D.C. This is the capital of Mexico, and you know, they're big, important federal buildings. And so I was standing on one corner by the federal building, and an officer came up to me, you know, and he said in Spanish, you know, that you can't be here. You know, you can't pass out tracks here. And I kind of pretended I didn't know what he was saying. You know, I knew he wanted me to move. You know, I just, no hablo español, you know. And you know, but I knew he wasn't moving. You know, he wasn't going to leave me alone. So I said, oh, where can I go? You know, and I want to, you know, where can I stand? You know, and he said, no, you got to keep walking the whole time. You know, you can't stand in one spot. You know, and you don't want to do that because you won't get as many people. Because when you stand in one spot, when there's so many people, you know, they all just flow right by you, and it's a lot better to distribute the tracks. Because if you're walking around, you know, you don't get as many people. So I left him and I walked down the other side of the federal building and just went around the corner. You know, and then he couldn't see me, and you know, I was just on the side where there's again a good flow of people, and so I was doing that for about 10 minutes, and then this vendor comes up to me. And he's selling incense, and he's wearing, I guess, an example of incense, but it's smoking, you know. And he comes right in my face, and all the incense is coming in my face. He's saying, "You can't be here, you know. You got to get out of here." And he's a vendor. He wasn't a police officer or anything. And so I was just like, "I don't know what you're saying," you know. And as people are coming by, still trying to pass out the tracks, but then he grabbed my tracks from me, you know, just to show me that he wasn't going to leave me alone. And then he gave them back to me. And so I said, "Oh, where can I go?" And he said, "Oh, you can go in front of the cathedral. There's a huge cathedral there." I said, "Oh, okay, that sounds good." So I went over there, and then for the next 6 hours, nobody bothered me at all in front of the cathedral, and just tons and tons of people. And so that was a real blessing that day. It was people were very receptive. And in Mexico City, I guess they get a lot of tourists as well, and you know, tourists aren't very friendly to tracks. They don't really want to be bothered. You know, they're there to see the sights, you know, and here you are with the gospel, and a lot of them, of course, they want nothing to do with you, and so every now and then you see a huge group of people, and you can tell they're white people, you know, they're not Mexicans, and at first, you know, every time you see a group, oh, no, more tourists, you know, and plus, you know, if they're American tourists, you know, they don't speak Spanish, and so here you are, all we have is Spanish tracks, you know, that's not going to do them any good, but then it was a blessing. A lot of these tourists, they're not from America. Some are, of course, and some are from England or Australia or something. They do speak English. But a lot of them are from South America, you know, whatever the South American countries. And so they do speak Spanish. And so many of them, they still took the tracts, and they can actually read them, which is good, you know. And they can, maybe God will bless them with His word. And nobody bothered me in front of the cathedral. So that was a blessing that day. That was that last Friday that we were there. And overall, I guess the team passed out about 300,000 tracts, I guess at least 1,000 Bibles. I don't know the exact number of Bibles, but a lot of Bibles. And a lot of the material, too, like all the Family Radio booklets, a lot of the What Must I Do to Become Saved book, a lot of the different booklets that we have, that Family Radio has. And so they were a blessing to give out as well. And we had some visitors to the Bible study. Actually, that Friday, that first Friday on Good Friday when we were there in Mexico City, one of the guy, Barry, he was the leader on the trip. He had met a couple and had given them the tract, and they had talked to him, and he had told them about the hotel in Toluca that we had a Bible study. And that's an hour and a half ride from Mexico City. And then on Easter Sunday, on that night, they showed up. They came all the way from Mexico City to come to the Bible study. And apparently this guy was an ex-pastor, and you know, he was really wanted to learn more about the end of the church age. You know, he really seemed to see the problems in the churches, and he himself was an ex-pastor, and so he was very interested, and they seemed to really enjoy the Bible study that night. And then we had other various visitors. One lady, she came almost every night to the Bible study, and then on the last day, I think it was, the last day, the Sunday that we were there that we had to pass out tracts, she actually went out with another lady to pass out tracts with her. So she was, wanted to share the gospel as well. So that was encouraging to see her. And I guess we left her with a little stack of tracts for herself after we had left. But that's about it. So it was a real blessing to go and pray that God will save people there. We know God will. We know God does save people from Mexico. He saves people from every nation. He is no respecter of persons, and that's a great comfort that we can have, that God really will save people from every single nation. It does not matter where you come from, God can save you if it's His good pleasure. He will save from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. And anybody have any questions? Yeah, it was Mexico City. Yeah, and I guess one of the guys, he had gotten a little. Some people were handing out these little cards, and what they would say on it was, "Do you have any problems? Do you have any marital problems? Do you have any financial problems? Do you have any concerns or something like that? Come pick up your cross and run to the victory." And then that's where they were, inviting people to come and get a cross and run up and you'll get some kind of blessing, by doing this physical act. And I guess they get it from the verse, where Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. But, they're taking it very physically, and obviously that's completely not what he means. And, it's very sad that people, are just completely deceived by the Catholic Church, and just like all churches today, But especially, you see, it's in Mexico, it's the Catholic Church that is just, keeping the people in bondage, It's one of Satan's strongholds there, But praise God, Jesus can come and rescue them and take them out of the Satan's kingdom. We woke up. We had breakfast at 7 a.m. Yeah, they had a buffet breakfast and dinner. Lunch, you were on your own out there wherever you were. But 7 a.m. breakfast, and then we will go out around 9 or 10. I guess the Mexicans, they get a kind of a late start to their day. They're kind of, laid back in the mornings. There's not many people out. But by 10, 10:30, if you leave around, it depends how long your ride is. If you're going to a faraway market or a faraway city, you got to leave a little earlier. But we get there around 10, 10:30 or whatever up to our destination, and then pass out tracts, and then try to be back to the hotel by 5 because we had dinner at 6. And buffet dinner, and then although they would only have, not buffet, I guess it was, we had a lot of fish and chicken, and they had various dishes and different dishes each night, and then we'd have a Bible study around 7:15, hymn sings and a Bible study, and then be back into our rooms by 9:30 probably. But yeah, so it was a good day. It was and you're out, and it didn't rain at all. I think that first Saturday we were there, I felt like one or two drops, literally just one or two drops of rain, and that was it. Other than that, it was cool in the morning, probably in the 40s, but it would get into the low 70s, mid 70s, I guess, during the afternoon. And apparently it's very dry in Mexico. I didn't even sweat. Even when you're out there all day long, you don't sweat because it's so dry. And even though you're out in the sun, it's very, very comfortable weather. And it was a good each day was packed, and it's good, kept us busy, and serving the Lord. And that's the joy, when you're out there. What a joy to be out there to share the Word of God with people. I mean, it just rejoices your heart. Nothing better we can do is to help others. We can be so selfish at times. We got all our own thoughts and our own needs to take care of, and yet, Jesus, He calls us to help others, to love others with the gospel. And that's why we're here. If we're truly saved, is to bring the gospel to others, that they might be saved from hell. That's what these people are going. As you see the multitudes walking by you, and you see just hordes and hordes of people on their way down to hell. And but the Lord, He's got people there. It could be any one of them. That's the great joy in knowing and not knowing who God's elect are. That it could be any single person that we meet. We have no idea. Only God knows. And so that really keeps you going. Every time you hand out that tract, and of course you can't think of it every time, you're handing out thousands of tracts. But every now and then you start to think, who are these people? Are these people, do they love, are they going to come to love the Lord, or are they still in their sins? You never know who you're going to meet, and so it's a great joy to be out there. Anything else? Hey, we had a couple people, maybe like five or six that would be the most on one night. I don't think we had that. We didn't have that many at each time. But I think every day we had at least one or two. And we had this brother I was rooming with, Brandon. He works for Family Radio. I think he's 23 or something. And he actually went down to South America last year for Family Radio. He would go to the different countries where Family Radio has contracts with these other radio stations to play Family Radio material, or play Family Radio programming. And he would listen in and take a log of what he heard, to make sure that they're keeping up with the contracts and things like that. And so he's fluent in Spanish. And so at the Bible studies, Jerry and Barry, they gave the Bible studies, and they would kind of say one line, and then Brandon would translate for the Spanish people, and then go from keep doing that. And then he would Barry would read the verse in English, and then Brandon would read the verse in Spanish. And so it went pretty well. And that's a tough job, translating. I guess not everything translates so smoothly from English to Spanish, but he did a good job. By God's grace. So he was a real blessing to have, because he lined up taxis and everything for the different teams, and God really used him on this trip. Is that it? All right. Yes. You go out in teams, and then you all can't just stand in one spot. You kind of spread out a little bit, and usually within eyesight of each other, kind of like, maybe one's across the street and you're on the other side of the street. And the one lady we were with, Miriam, was on our team. She's real experienced. She's been on several of these trips before, so we didn't worry about her. The other lady was with us, Yeshi. Her name is Yeshi from California, and that was her first trip. And I think she's also on the Portugal trip. On this trip, she said she was going to go, and we're planning on going. And so we would just make sure we know where she is, where she's at, and. So yeah, you do split up a little bit, so you can get as much ground as you can. Or sometimes, I would go with Yeshi, and we would go down one side, and Jerry and Miriam would go on another side. Sometimes we would be together, two people. All right, amen.